So forgive me also, I wanted to continue something about Parshas Zohar, although it's already Achar HaMaisa, but since the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is one of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius, so Mamela, even after Parshas Zohar, is still Nogea LaMaisa. That, as I mentioned last time, the very interesting sheet of the Sefer Achinuch, not the Michas Chinuch, the Sefer Achinuch, that says that women are not chayavais in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. They're not chayav in the mitzvah to remember the evil of Amalek, because the Sefer Achinuch says that the mitzvah of remembering Amalek is in order that you should wage war to destroy Amalek, Mechias Amalek. Right, so the Chinuch correlates Zechira with the mitzvah of Mechia, and he then concludes that since women are not mitzuvos, in Mechias Amalek, because Noshim are lav b'nais milchama ninu, women are not chayeves in war, so if they're not chayeves in Mechias Amalek, Zap the Sefer Achinuch, women are not chayavais in Zechiras Amalek. So really, there are actually two separate chidushim in the Sefer Achinuch. Both points are a chidush. First of all, to correlate Zechira and Mechia is a shtickle chidush, because one could say it's two separate mitzvahs. One is to remember the evil of Amalek, and the other is to destroy. One thing has nothing to do with the other. Or you could say it's slightly different. Maybe the woman should also remember, so at breakfast she could tell her husband, go out and kill Amalek, right? That could also be, you know, part of it, her role. But the second point is also a chiddush, that the chinuch nemzan for a davar pashut, that women are peturais from mechias Amalek because of the klal of noshim lav benais milchama ninu. Now, the Chayra, we do have a kasha on that, because the Rambam says, I mean, this is obvious, but the Rambam specifically categorizes as such, that Milchemes Amalek is considered to be a Milchemes Mitzvah. Right? The Rambam says there are three categories of Milchemes Mitzvah. One is to destroy the seven nations of Canaan. The other is to destroy Amalek. And the third is when the Jewish people are under attack, to defend the Jewish people. And the Gemara in Saita says, by Milchemes Mitzvah, Hakol Yaitzin, everybody is obligated to fight to engage in a Milchemes Mitzvah. And he says specifically, Afilu Chasan Mechedrei, even the Chasan from his room, from the Cheder HaYichud, Kala Mechupasa, which indicates a Milchemes Mitzvah, even a Kala is Yaitzei. So the Chayra Amalek is a Milchemes Mitzvah. So the Chinuch will have to understand that to mean that a Kala's Yaitzeh does not mean a woman goes into combat duty. A woman never goes into combat duty. Chazal just understood that. But it means a woman could go into some type of work for the military effort, like cooking or supplies or something like that. Now, I mentioned, you know, since then we had a big rally here, the like, exactly. This shaila about women and everything else, you know, when it comes to Amalek, it's academic because we don't really know who Amalek is. But when it comes to the Rambam's third category, it's highly relevant, and that is the Rambam's third category of Milchemes Mitzvah is to defend the Jewish people from enemies. And L'chara, like I said, L'chara, you get two problems right off the bat. Problem number one is, well, Milchemes Mitzvah does say women are involved. Now, even if we say, as I just said, that women are exempt from combat, but what is the alternative shot? Women are mechuyavais to engage in some type of effort to fight the war, you know, whatever it would be. So the Chayra, one would argue, that based on that situation, if there's an actual war in which the Jewish people are endangered, then women can be compelled to engage in some type of sheirut lumi or some type of national service or the like. And then, of course, you have the same problem with B'nai Torah per se. How does all of that work? Right? B'nai Torah, first of all, are B'nai Torah exempt from Milchemes Mitzvah? It's not so clear. it says HaKol Yaitzen, but maybe HaKol has exceptions. So again, the primary source that's relevant here is a Rambam in Hilchas Shemitah V'Yovel, where the Rambam says that Shevet Levi was Pater even from Milchemes Mitzvah. And then the Rambam says that Shevet Levi is not only a tribe, but anyone who devotes himself to learning and Avodas Hashem can have the status of Shevet Levi. So that's a very big chiddush of the Rambam. First of all, the idea that Shevet Levi itself is Pater from Milchemes Mitzvah, that's a very big chiddush that does not appear in the Gemara. But the Kesed Mishnah says that the Makar of the Rambam is a Sifri, that Shevet Levi is Pater Milchemes Mitzvah. So that's Chiddush 1. Chiddush 2 is to then say that the Shevet Levi paradigm can be extended. Okay. So, but I do want to say one thing. Yes, who says Shevet Levi is Pater? The Gemara doesn't say it. But I just want to point out the following. I want to point out why, to a large degree, all of this is irrelevant. And people are discussing these Makairis, but these Makairis are actually less Nogeya, the Shaila, than one would think. And that is, nobody ever said that for a Milchemes Mitzvah, every single Jew must fight, because there's never been an army that had people fighting 100%. It just means that if there's a military need, so nobody could claim that they're exempt from it. But when there's no particular military need, then avada, it is within the discretion of a government or a society to determine what people should be doing, that's more valuable than not. So the problem in Israel is, maybe it's not a problem, but the problem with Israel is that the army does not have a shortage. It really does not have a shortage of soldiers. The MS is, this is the open secret, that from a military standpoint, drafting Haredim is not only unnecessary, but it's even undesirable. Almost the last thing the army actually wants is an influx of very religious people to go into the army. It's going to make things much more complicated. They have to have separate this and separate that and different kashrus, and they can't do their kolisha concerts or whatever it is. So the purpose of this, and again, I'm not here to call anybody names because lishitasam, they have a justification. The purpose of calling for a widespread draft is absolutely not, we're in danger and we need everybody to protect us. But it's in order to create a homogenization of society and to kind of eliminate the barriers that exist. Now, okay, from their perspective, that's a good goal. From our perspective, it's not a good goal. But the point is, it's not nogeya the shaila in Chazal. The shaila in Chazal is, if there is a sakana, and in order to combat that sakana, we need people. So when do you have a patur, when don't you have a patur? And we will find that indeed, you may not always have a patur. But when you don't need the people, then it's simply a political question. Should people be drafted or not? And then one can bring up all the cheshbainas of the army being mazik, ruchnias, and everything else. In other words, it's not the same shaila, because there absolutely is no acute state of emergency, which would be mechayev, the army to become much bigger than this. So in a sense, the makaris are not as relevant to the shaila as people would think. Okay, but that's not what I wanted to talk about that much. The issue generally of what's called Shivui HaNetzel, of equalizing the burden, of homogenization of society, these are very, very, very controversial issues, even within, and not so much within the Haredi world, but within the religious world. There are many religious people, either Dati Lumi or many American Orthodox, who actually hold very much that there ought to be more B'nai Torah in the army. Others, take opposite positions. But all I'm saying is, you can't be machria this type of shaila by the halachas of Milchemes Mitzvah, because the halachas of Milchemes Mitzvah presuppose a state of emergency that requires a certain number of people to fight, and then the question becomes, who gets in, who gets out. Yeah.
Just understand the love together of attacking Jewish people. Does there have to be a, like, for example, I mean, like the Holocaust is an example. So in a way, there was attacking the Jewish people. And so theoretically, if there was a possibility for a Jew to join, say, the American army, could there be a tzadik yadachid of this sort of thing, even the Talmud Chumash Mitzvah?
Well, that's an interesting question. In other words, can there be a milchemes mitzvah if you have an army that's not under a Jewish government, not under a Jewish state?
You keep an army of people are trying to kill Jews. That's what they're trying to do. So if the whole din turns out that you're always at the third category of someone attacking.
It's a good question, but even then, the pshat is if there were enough soldiers in the American army, you wouldn't have to join. I mean, it's the same idea. Well, I can tell you this. I mean, I can tell you that both in World War II and later Vietnam, which was my time, the U.S. government did exempt full-time rabbinic students. Clerical students, Jewish or Christianity.
So even in
World War II, theological students were exempt from the draft. That's a good challenge. It seems that it is connected to a Jewish army, although the story is not so clear.
Is that a Torah army? Chas v'shalom, which never happened. Did say this country for Islam and some kind of crazy ritual where Islam all hands is the deck sort of thing?
Well, I'll tell you this. In 1948, there were many, many. I think Chaim Kineski was in the army. I don't know if he was officially in the army, but he had a gun. They took things. I mean, there was a concept of being mishtatif when it was mamish and neisara. Now, you know, my rabbi, I think I mentioned before, my rabbi, Rav Kleski Zitzel, who had been Rashi of Nei Yisrael for a short while, a great, great Talmud Chacham, great, great Magid Shir, amazing. But he was actually drafted in World War II. What was the story? That in America, he was actually in the American Army, but most of the time he was in prison, because the Bukharim were instructed that when the guys from the government come and they ask you, why are you here for? You have to say, I'm studying to be a rabbi. That's what you say, and that's how you get the exemption. I am studying to be a rabbi. He refused to say that, because he says, I'm not studying to be a rabbi. He says, why are you here? He says, I'm studying because I believe that God wants me to spend my life studying. Well, that's not a reason, you know, that's not an acceptable reason. Now, you just want to study? Well, I also want to study. I got to go to the army. So he was drafted because he actually refused to say that he was learning to be a rabbi. So I think he actually fought it. There was a court case after 2 years in MP or whatever it is he got out. And I think his Rashi Yeshiva were upset at him. I mean, he was kind of taking a principle to kind of an extreme. He just didn't want to say, I'm learning to be a rabbi. But okay, but that's what you have to say. So I remember Vietnam. I think I still have my U.S. draft card. Well, that's the one they used to burn, the people against Vietnam. But we were exempt. Now, yeshivas did experience a great, great amount of growth during the Vietnam era. That's very true. And some people were not really learning. But if you were a bona fide rabbinical student, the United States government exempted you. So, Israel could certainly do the same. And if you're going to say, well, Vietnam was not such a big deal, although it was, but World War II was indeed a very big deal. And even in World War II, rabbinical students were exempt. But okay. So this is a big issue. This is not time to discuss this, but I want to get back to Amalek a little bit. And that is, there's a very interesting sheet of the Bahag. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that although reading the Megillah is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, women are chayagas in Mikra Megillah because af hein hayu b'yaseh hanes. What does that mean? That even though it's a time-bound mitzvah and women should be pater, but they too are in the miracle. Now there's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus how to understand the expression of af hein hayu b'yaseh hanes. Rashi understands, although the Lashem is not so much more like Rashi, but Rashi understands it that Noshim are the Iker Hanes. Esther Hamalka was the Emtsoi for the miracle of Hashem. Taisus understands that it's not referring to the instrument of salvation, but it just means they were in the same sakana and they needed the mace. In other words, the gzeira of Haman was on men and women. Now the Gemara says the swara of Apein Hayav Yosu Anes in a few mitzvahs. It says it by Dalit Kosos. Women are chayavais in Dalit Kaisais. Apein Hayav Yosu Anes. And there we have the same machlokas Rashi and Taisus. Rashi learns that the Iker Geula is because of women, because in the merit of Nashim Sidkaniyais, there was Geula. Tosos learns the same thing, that women were slaves, and therefore the freedom was brought to men and women. Right? So you have a Mikra Megillah, you have Dalit Kosos, and the third place where the Gemara says, Afein Hayu Bioso Anes, is by Ner Chanukah. Nashim are Chayavais in Ner Chanukah, right, even a single woman, because Afein Hayu Bioso Anes. So again, according to Taisus, it's obvious that women were persecuted by the Yevanim, just like men. According to Rashi, Rashi learns that, although it's not so clear, but we have stories of Yehudis, stories of Chana and her seven sons, various heroines of the Chanukah story, where women were Moser Nefesh, and therefore they become part of the Iker Yeshua, the Iker Zechus that brought the Yeshua. Right, so the Gemara says, Apein Hayu Bioso Hanesh, three different places. In each of those places, you have a Machlokas, Rashi, and Taisus. They're consistent. What is Apein Hayu Bioso Hanesh? Bekitzer, Taisus and Pesachim asks a good kasha. That is, the Gemara says women have to eat matzah Pesach night, even though it's a Zman Gerama, because we have a Hekesh. Don't lo seichel alav chametz. Shivas yamim teichel olav matzos. Whoever has the isur of chametz has the chiyuv of matzah. And since women are not allowed to eat chametz because it's a lo sasa, they have the chiyuv of matzah. Frek teisus akasha. Why do I need a juxtaposition of psukim to make a hekesh? Machayev a woman in matzah because of avpein hayu bioso anes like galut kosos. So Taisus says a very important yisayi that we paskin lahalacha, that Apein Hayu Bioso Anes is only a svara in a mitzvah derabbanan, meaning you cannot use Apein Hayu Bioso Anes to override a doraisa exemption. Meaning, if there's an exemption called Zman Gerama, and that exemption is piled on a doraisa level, you cannot stamazai say, Apein Hayu Bioso Anes, and override that. So for any mitzvah d'oraisa that a woman would be patur from, you need a hekesh, or a pasuk, or a drasha to be mechay of them. You cannot use the swara of Apein Hayu Bioso Anes. And that is why Taisa says, we only have Apein Hayu Bioso Anes for mitzvos that are drabanan, mikra megillah, ner chanukah, Dalit Kaisis, that's an important Taisis in Pesach. Okay. But be it as it may, the Gemara in Megillah does say that Nashim are Chayavis in Mikra Megillah because of Apein Hayu, the Eisei Anes. So, Taisis in Megillah, and also in Erchin, brings a Shaila, can a woman read Megillah for a man? Now again, we're not talking about Kalisha, let's say we're talking about even without the trap, and let's say a wife is reading for her husband. Because let's say he can't talk, he can't move his lips, whatever it would be. Can a woman be mitzi a man? Now, as a general rule, what is our klal? If you're mechuyev in a mitzvah, you could be mitzi somebody. If you're not mechuyev in a mitzvah, you can't. A cheresh shaitev a katan cannot be mitzi a gadol, no matter how good the katan can read. So Taisus brings, the first sheet of Taisus is, since a woman is chayavis in Megillah just like a man, a woman could be mitzi a man. That would be the pashas. A woman could certainly be mitzi a man in Kiddush. Again, the Rebbe has a whole discussion if she daven, didn't daven, but b'derech klal, if they both davened Ma'ariv or they both didn't daven Ma'ariv, whatever, a woman could say it for a man. That's for sure. So a woman cannot blow shofar for a man because she's not mitzvah. So Megillah, she's mitzvah, she could read. But then Taisus brings the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the Bahag, that says that even though women are Chayavas and Mikra Megillah, they cannot be Maitzi men. And the question is, what's the Svara of the Bahag? So some learn, it's in the Yonim of Tznius and the like, but L'chara, that's fair, because the Bahag doesn't only say a woman cannot be Maitzi B'tzibor. The Bahag says a woman cannot be Maitzi even B'yechidus. And we don't bring up Tznius, Stamazai, if a woman says Kiddush for a man, B'tznius, we don't say it's not Tznius. I mean, if that's necessary, that's necessary. So the Marcheshes is Rav Chanoch Eges. Rav Chanoch Eges was the Dayan of Vilna, the main Dayan of Vilna in the time of Rav Chaim Eiser. So he died in the Holocaust. In fact, he was actually the main Paisek in Vilna for Vilna. Vilna was a big city. Rav Chaim Eiser was the Gadol Hador. So Rav Chaim Eiser did not like to paskin local shilas. Vilna had an Eiru, Vilna had mikvahs. Right, there were many shilas in Vilna, and Rav Chaim Eiser could not be metapel with all of those shilas. But Rav Shachi was a much younger man, was very close to Rav Chaim Eiser, and he noted, he actually said, he learned from Rav Chaim Eiser that no matter how great a gadol you are, you can't be involved in everything. You have to learn to delegate, because he said that people come to Rav Chaim Eiser about all sorts of shilas about the Erev in Vilna. And Rav Chaim Eiser would say, go ask Rav Panach. In other words, Rav Chaim Eiser felt that he didn't have the time or the energy to be machriya, the difficult shaila. So Rav Shach says, he learned from there that a manik has to know how to delegate. Of course, that's what Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu himself, if you do everything yourself, you know, you're going to be worn down. So Mimela, that's Ladeiris. If even Moshe Rabbeinu is novel tibal, Tal V'chaimer, everybody else. Once again, a larger group of people, but okay. So the Marcheshes was a great, great guy. And in fact, his sefer is called Marcheshes, and it's in the basement. Well, I don't know if it's in the basement, but it's somewhere here. And it's a very, 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 very chashuv and esteemed sefer. But he offers the following hasbara. He says like this. He says, in Mikra Megillah, when we read Megillah, Megillah is Rabbanan, to be sure. Anshei Knesset Hagdailah, but that's technically Rabbanan. But when you read Megillah, there are really two different mitzvahs to Rabbanan that you're being Mekayim by the reading of Mikra Megillah. He says, one mitzvah you're Mekayim is the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, that you're Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Nes, and you're Mefarsing the Nes. And that's a mitzvah called Pirsumei Nisa. Like lighting Hanukkah candles is Pirsumei Nisa. But there's a separate mitzvah, Yer Mekayim, and that is by commemorating the downfall of Haman Ha'agagi, you are Mekayim on a rabbinic level, a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek. So he says it's Kailal 2 in Yanin, Pirsumei Nisa and Zechiras HaMalek. So Zakta Marcheshes Sazay. When the Gemara says, Nashim are Chayaveis B'mikra Megillah, because Afhein Hayu B'yaisei Hanes, that's only a Svara to be Machayev them in the aspect of Mikra Megillah that is Nikayach Pirsumei Nisa. But a woman is not Chayaves in the aspect of Megillah. That is a kiyam of Zechiras HaMalek, because according to the Sefer HaChinuch, women are not mechliyev on the Daraisa level of Zechira. So if they're not mechliyev in Zechiras HaMalek on the Daraisa level, then the rabbinic kiyam of Zechiras HaMalek in Mikra Megillah, women are not chayavas in either. So Zakta Marcheshes Hazay, the Marcheshes wants to say that the same way, if I'm not mechliyev in a mitzvah, I cannot be mitzi you. That also means, if I am only chayav in one part of the mitzvah and not the other part, and you are chayav in both parts, I can't be mitzi you in that part of the mitzvah for which I'm not chayav. And therefore the Marcheshes says, the svara of the Bahag, why a woman cannot read Megillah for a man, is because since the man is mechuyev in Megillah, both because of Pirsumei Nisa and because of Zechiras HaMalek, and the woman's svara of apein hayu b'yoso anes is only mechayever in persumei nisa and not in zechiras amalek because of the sefer achinuch svara that nashim are lav b'nais milchama. So lagabe that the woman is not a mechuyeves b'davar, and that's why she cannot be mitzi. Now you might say, well, wait a second here. That's good, like to say for achinuch. But we talk a paskin that women have to hear Parsha Socher. We talk a hasim to hold women are chayavos in Parsha Socher. If women are chayavos in Parsha Socher. But the short answer is, we don't really have such a psak. The answer is we're machriya on both Nikudas Lechumra, meaning like this. There is a machlokas if women are chayavos in Zechira Samalek. There's a machlokas. So, legabe parshas zachor, we're choshesh l'chumra that they should hear it, because maybe they're chayavas. But legabe, whether a woman can read Megillah for a man, we have to be go l'chumra that maybe she's not chayavas. In other words, it's not a contradiction. Because if the pshat would be, we would be machriya as a davar pashat that a woman is chayavas in parshas zachor, then you're right. According to this lumdus, a woman should be able to read for a man. But there's no hachra like that. In fact, in Europe, there were many women who did not hear Parsha Socher. Yes, the Mishnah verse says it's nachan, but the truth is lemaisa. It became this pasha. It became more nispasha in America than it was the case in Europe. But now the Marshesha says something. Maybe we shouldn't record this. That's actually a very women's liberation. It's a women's lib, a type of machshava. Because he says like this. He brings from a Rashi that Rashi says, Milchemes mitzvah, Rashi in Megillah, Taka, Milchemes mitzvah is not nayeg at night. Now, Rashi obviously doesn't mean you're being attacked by somebody. You can't tell the enemy, hey, don't come back till tomorrow morning, you know, I don't fight at night, you know, that's not going to work. But we're talking about Amalek, the obligation to go out and kill an Amaleki. So it's at night you're not mechuyev. That's why night is the zman of Talmud Torah, the time of rest, the time of tefillah, the pu'ulos of milchames mitzvah. So Mimela, the Marcheshes wants to title like this. If you go with the chinuch hanacha, that Zechira is mechubar to Mechia, and that's why women are peturais from Zechira, then it could very well be that Megillah at night is only Mikayach Persumei Nisa, and not Mikayach Mechia. Or Zakta Marcheshes, okay, don't quote me on this, no. Zakta Marcheshes, Anayas, that it turns out, Eibazai, that even the Bahag who says, a woman cannot be mitzi a man in Megillah, that would only be the Megillah of the day because of the union of Amalek and not the Megillah at night. Megillah at night, he says, even the Bahag is Maida, that an Isha can be mitzi a man because the Megillah at night is only Mikayach Pirsumei Nisa, it is not Mikayach Zechira Samalek. This is a chiddush of the Marcheshes. Now I'll tell you a little kash on this. The Marcheshes goes on in his Masber like this. It's actually brought down the halacha that the bracha we make on reading the Megillah, of course, is al mikra Megillah. But a woman who's making the bracha, even if a man is reading for her, the woman should make the bracha lishmoa Megillah. And what's the chilek? So the Marcheshes wants to say, this is exactly the chilek, because like this, he says that Pirsume Nisa, I am Makayim by listening to the Megillah being read. I don't have to say the words, because my very presence in a group of people is lending to the piercing. So Pirsume Nisa is Shemiya. In other words, it's not the pshat, you're reading, and it's Kilo, I said the words. I am Yaitse by my Shmiya itself. But when it comes to Zechira Samalek, you technically have to say the words. The Gemara says, Laisishkach would have meant believe, Zachor is Bepeh, and the only reason I could be Yaitse is Shomeya Kaone, it's as if I say the words. Memela, The man says, Al Mikra Megillah, he's Mechayiv in the Etzem Kriya because of Amalek. But Pirsumei Nisa is Lishmaya Megillah. Azay's up to Marcheshes. So my kasha is a bazai by the kriyas of Megillah at night. If indeed the only mechayev of Megillah at night is pirsumei nisa, then a man at night is just like a woman in the day. So why don't we make the bracha at night of lishmoa Megillah? Okay, that's a kasha. I don't have a teretz for that. I mean, one teretz might be like this. It's interesting that if you just look at the Mishnayos of Maseches Megillah, it actually the Mishnah does not mention Megillah at night at all. It is not in the Mishnah. And the first mention of Megillah at night is a memra of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is a very late Tana Amori. He's actually after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, between the Tanaim and the Amoraim, and he said, Chayav Adam Likras Megillah B'Yayim Likras Yom Alayla V'Lishnaisa B'Yayim. So some Meforshim learn that the Takana of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola was only B'Yayim, and it was a later Takana after the Mishnah to do it at night. But that could even be why we say Shechiyanu B'Yayim. Now, we always make an announcement that Shechiyanu B'Yayim, you should have Kavana for Mishloach Manas, but that's kind of an after the fact, because why are you doing it by Megillah? let me make Shechiyanu before I give Shloach Manas. The answer is, because originally that was the only Megillah reading, so Shechiyanu was the Takana of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. Later, when we added a reading, so we have to come up with a justification for Shechiyanu, so we have that after-the-fact justification. So it could be like this. It could be, this is Stamos, right? It could be that since the Iker Kriya was B'Yayim, so that defined the Nusach HaBracha. In other words, Chazal didn't want to make a separate Nusach HaBracha for the night, because the night is Topel, meaning to say the night is simply an extension of the Kriya B'Yayim, and therefore it is the Kriya B'Yayim that is Koveya, the Nusach HaBracha. It's a bit of a deichet, but that might be. It's two different mitzvahs, but what I mean to say is that in order to highlight that the night was not an autonomous equal mitzvah, they kept the nusach the same. Meaning, if you were to give a separate nusach, that would be mashma that night and day are equal validity. By keeping it the same nusach, you're basically saying the night is a derivative of the chiyuv. No, but what I'm saying is that when they added a secondary reading, they did not want to give it a distinct ritual. So they just said they copied. In other words, they copied it based on the day reading. Yeah.
But there's also the they would have had a distinct bracha for the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Because confusion, because some people, you know, with a non necessarily having siddur, they could keep that same nusach and get confused.
Oh, that would mess up the day.
Yeah,
okay.
I hear.
Okay, so we'll beat us with, so I'm going to stop here, and hopefully we'll have a week or two for Pesach and Yom Kippur.